Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon is Taking Heed to God's Word. Why do we need to spend time to study God's Word? Why is God's Word so important? This is the main thought in verses 19 to 21 as we close the study of this chapter 1 of the second epistle of Peter. I submit to you that God's Word is important because it is firstly life's only firm foundation, verses 19a. And it is life's only true comfort, verse 19b. And it is life's only true wisdom, verses 20 to 21. Peter has painted for us the picture of a godly man. He has shown to us this beautiful portrait of a true Christian. How he is saved by that light, precious faith that Peter possesses in Christ Jesus. And the apostle is urging them to go on to grow in godliness toward spiritual maturity. And he's now telling them the how of living this life successful. How do we live this life successfully? Because soon he will no longer be with them. He tells them solemnly that his earthly life is coming to an end. And for a person whose life is coming to an end, he reviews life, he sees life with a perspective. There are certain thoughts that are burdensome in his heart. And he wants to convey them and he wants to give it to them. Verses 14 and 15 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. We must remember that as we see this picture that Peter is painting for us of the Christian life, it is amidst a background of much trouble, of much persecution, that has caused the Christians in that time, living during Peter's time, to be scattered all over Asia Minor. Life was hard, life was difficult, life was troublesome. It was in the AD 60s, and they had to avoid the sort of hostile enemies to their faith. As it was then, so it is today. This life is troublesome. As we think of the week that has just passed, the many challenges that we have encountered during the week, each one is a test. Two directions to go. Either the godly, wise way or the way down the world's foolish road or the world's foolish way. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6, if you turn to me with me over there, gives us very strong words for us to take heed. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. There are three commands given in this short verse. To forsake, and to live, and to go in the way of understanding. Have we gone in the way of understanding this past week? Were there moments this past week when we forsook God's way and walked in the world's foolish way? There is a heavy price to pay for foolishness. You know, in the book of Proverbs, there are quite a few words that describe the fool. And these are given in order to help us to understand the foolishness that is in our heart. And chapter after chapter, verse after verse, admonition is given, warning is given, so that we may turn away from our foolishness. And this word foolish is the word for simple-mindedness. Let us examine our hearts, examine our lives. So you may ask me, how do we know how to decide? What to do? How to live? Well, Peter is telling us that the key is in God's written word. The key is in appropriating God's written word. Peter says, listen, I have a testimony to tell. I saw Jesus in his glorified state in the mount. I saw how Jesus calmed the storm, how I walked on the water toward him. You remember that experience that Peter had? How when he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, how he saw the wind strong and boisterous, and he became afraid, and how he began to sink. Now he cried, Lord, save me. And what did our Lord Jesus do? Did Jesus stretch out his hand and received him? It was a moment of desperation. He was sinking. Peter had that experience, that close encounter in life where he saw the power and the glory of God. He walked on water. He saw how Jesus calmed the storm. And he tells us that this message that I am giving to you is true. Jesus is God. That in Jesus Christ is fullness of life. And this is the secret of life. Of life in its fullest, life at its best, this life with God. And you can know it, and you can learn it in God's revelation, the revealed word, the Holy Bible. He says, take heed to it. The verb, take heed, is found in the middle of verse 19. To take heed is to pay attention, to give earnest, careful, believing attention. The apostle is saying, study the scriptures diligently. Spend time with them. Let it govern your heart. Let it govern your thoughts. Meditate upon it. This is Peter's final word to us. There's nothing else he could leave behind but the spiritual heritage of God's word, passed down from generation to generation. God's word, only one edition. When we go to chapter 2, you will find that he will describe to us the full force of the onslaught of false prophets upon God's people, the full force of trouble coming. And only God's word can help them to identify and repel every evil. And so he tells them that, please, fortify yourself with the truth. Make sure you know the word of God. So this word, this verb, to take heed, has a special nautical emphasis. It means to hold a ship in a direction, to set sail towards a set destination. God's word is life's reliable compass. It is able to steer you through the troublous waters of life. As Christian would put it in Pilgrim's Progress, it brings you toward the celestial city. So Peter says, We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. And this verb, to take heed, is in the present continuous tense. What it means is that we are to do so all the time, to make it a habit to check if we are on course, if we are moving in the right direction. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. He preached to them in the Sermon on the Mount, and right at the end of the preaching, he tells them, you have to make a choice. The choice is yours. The journey is yours. I've shown you the way. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many that be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The way of destruction is the broad way. It is the popular way, the easy way. The Bible tells us, our Lord warns us, that it is the way of death. And he's telling them, there is a better way, the way through the straight gate on the narrow road. He says that that route through the narrow way leads to life. God's blessing awaits all who would walk that way. And this way is found in God's word. Do you know it? How well do you know it? If you are on the broad way, our Lord is speaking to you to make your exit and enter the straight gate. This is the gate of salvation through Jesus Christ. So Peter is saying to us in this first thought that we want to consider is that we are to take heed to the word of God because it is life's only firm foundation. He says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. What does that mean? The adjective more sure means stable, steadfastly secure and firm. It gives the picture of something that is firm, stable, something that can be relied upon, something can be trusted, something that is dependable. So the idea is here is that we have the prophetic word of God as the sure foundation, more important than the miracles that Peter tells us that he saw from verses 15 to 18, more important than the signs and the wonders, his experiences. Peter says that these miracles that I saw tells me who Jesus is. But the word of God is that foundation that gives me that basis to build our lives. Not my experience, but the word of God. So this first thought for us is that we are to take heed to God's word, because it is life's only foundation. It is the most secure basis from which we ought to build our lives. Why did he call it the word of prophecy? This is because Peter wants to emphasize that God's word does not lie. The prophetic word, the word that is prophesied, the word that is predicted, all came true. I'm a witness of it. All that is revealed in the Old Testament concerning Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, is fully fulfilled to the jot and tittle. And I'm a witness of it. And I want you to bear witness, but I will no longer be here soon. And there is a more sure word of prophecy that you can rely on. This is the word of God. Make sure you know it. Jesus himself says in Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from my law till all be fulfilled. Peter is an eyewitness of all the fulfillment of God's word. And he tells us that it's totally reliable because he saw Jesus. He saw the Word made flesh. He saw the eternal Logos in the fullness of time. And he saw Jesus after the resurrection. He saw Jesus in his ascension. And he says, all this is true. It's the Word of God. Let this be your foundation. Not your experience. Not your own wisdom. Come back to God and His Word. The Scripture is sufficient to teach us the way to go. It gives to us all the principles to judge every aspect of our life. Do we realize that? The trouble with us is that we often don't bother. We are comfortable with our own routine, our way of life. Oftentimes, God had to put a stop. Something happened. Then we awake and realize that we have been lost. Verse 19a, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Dear brethren, how are you doing well? How are you doing? Would you say that you are doing well in life? Peter wants us to do well in the sight of God, to receive God's approval. And that is the only thing that counts in the final analysis. And he wants us to realize that. Take heed, take stock. You know, Solomon says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. How are you building? Is your labor fruitful? How are you building your life, your family, your home? Is it according to God's word? Do you really believe that no storm can shake a home built upon the Bible? How are you building your work life? Is it according to God's word? We spend 8, 10, 12, 15 hours at work. How is that work? So Peter is telling us, let us take heed to the warning that we are building our lives upon this sure foundation of God's word. Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, again gave that warning. Matthew chapter 7, let us turn there, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Are you building your home on God's eternal word? Is it the most read book in your home? Do you search the pages to know how to live? Do you take time to read and meditate on the messages of the book in your home each day before you begin your day? To come to the Lord, to hear the loving words of our Heavenly Father. Peter is saying that this is the only way to build our home. It is to make God's word a sure foundation, your daily companion. So the Bible does touch on every phase of life with a message. If you were to treasure it by giving it a place of honor and authority in our lives, then ours is a life that is blessing and yet more blessing. There was a time in Israel's history that this was not so. In Judges chapter 2, verse 7, verse 10, it says, Judges chapter 2, verse 10, you turn with me. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. It was a period of time in Israel's history that they have neglected the study of God's word. They have taken God's word lightly, and this was the result. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. There was one generation that failed the Lord, that failed to do their part in imparting the truth of God's word to the next generation. And this was the heavy price that was paid for many generations. 400 years, Israel was in trouble. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 to 32, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 to 32, is described to us the state of the high priest's life and his family, of Eli's life. He lost his two sons. They became no use to God because Eli would not teach them the things of God. And God indicted Eli, who said that he was more concerned about his sons than he was about God. And God pronounced judgment and stated that both Eli and his sons would die. And this is the account that is given to us in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 to 32. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of my father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, keep ye at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel's people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that this house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, but they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and thou shalt see an enemy in thy habitation, and in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. These are very strong words of indictment, you know. Is our children's spiritual education more important than the world's education? The older generation cannot condemn the next generation in their behavior if they have not taught them. This was the case of Eli. Are we taking heed to God's word and teaching them to our children? Have we laid a solid foundation of faith in our lives and in the lives of our family? This is the question that is before us. Jeremiah the prophet speaks of the hardness of the human heart when he observed, very sadly, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in my ways, in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, which is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." So the Bible's warning for us is this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. God knows, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What things were gained to me? Paul says, I counted loss for Christ. How are we living our lives? Is God's word our sure foundation, dearly beloved? May the Lord help us to build our home, build our house, build our lives upon the forever infallible word. It is life's only sure foundation. That's the first thought. Then the second, it is life's only true comfort. When we build our lives, our house upon God's infallible word, we are able to withstand the storm that comes. The support of God's word is as sure as its basis. When all other support fails, God's word never fails, especially in a time of storm and affliction. So if we build our house upon the rock, upon God's word, upon Christ, then when storm comes, when affliction comes, we are able to hold steady. And this is the test. Peter says in part 2 of verse 19, as unto a light that shineth in dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Peter is saying that God's word is like a lamp, it's like a light in the dark place. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We experience darkness and in a place without light. How frightening it is. You don't know where is what. You don't know what's next. How trouble can come. But when there is that little light in the midst of the great darkness, you see how the light is able to penetrate and give good vision. Well, this is what Peter is saying, that God's word is as light that shineth in a dark place. Are we convinced in our heart the benefits of trusting God and his word? The trouble with us is that we have the word, but we hang it up, we leave it somewhere. The lamb is not used. It is like an ornamental decoration for display. It's there. Perhaps over the years we have bought many Bibles, and they are collecting dust. It's getting moldy. But Peter says that God's word, when truly appropriated, is light that shineth in the dark place. In this world that we lived in, this world of lawlessness, this world of depravity, this world of darkness, when we have the Word of God, then we are able to see life, the world, in its perspective, you see. And this light, this lamp, Peter says, let it continue to be our light until the day dawn. It means that this darkness in our journey of life is only temporary. It's not permanent. There will come a time when the day star arises, that there is a dawn that is coming. See, that's the beautiful picture of light in darkness. There's a chorus. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. When the night is dark, He is there for me. Is this your experience? Peter is saying that this is the power of God's word that is able to help us, you see. And this star, that day star that arises, that shines at the dawning. You know, dawn is the darkest hour of the night. And when the sun comes, that's when all darkness is dispelled. This star that comes is a description of not the Word of God, but of Christ. And our Lord will come one day and He will restore all things. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. There will come a time where all sorrows will turn to joy. The pain of life will no longer be there. When we see our Lord face to face, when our Lord will return to take His church with Him at the rapture. That moment is coming, do you know? And that's when the day star arises. If prayer is talking to God, then Bible reading is God talking to us. The light of God's word shining to illumine our way. The greatest need of this hour is the message of God in our hearts. The hymn, Until Then, O Glorious Day, 227, gives to us a fervor of that waiting. It says, O weary soul, are you by sorrow's burden? Look to the Lord, our glorious coming King. He reigns on high, our blessed intercessor. He pleads our cause to serve Him here below. So till He come, I'll watch and pray and read my Bible, rejoicing. Till He come each day, I'll labor on. Then soon one day, my eyes shall see my Savior. Descend the clouds, O glorious day. Until then, we should never leave our journey without carrying a copy of the Bible with us. Get it? Even in our office, our Bibles ought to be at our desk for ready reference. The Bible should be used, whether it's in our iPhones, whether it's in our iPads. Let's have God's Word readily available for reference. Are we ashamed to have the Bible in our hands? The Bible in our place of business? That's when we fail to realize the importance of this light upon our feet and light upon our pathway. Remember in the Exodus, the night journeys of Israel through the wilderness were illuminated by a pillar of fire that moved before them. So it's a great picture. And you imagine with your mind's eye the time of the Exodus. When they were in the wilderness, what is the wilderness? Of desolation, of trouble, of coldness. And what did they see? What did they experience? Well, they were illuminated by a pillar of fire that moved before them on their march, before, as they moved towards the promised land. And most of the time, the pillar would stood at the in the middle of the camp, over the most holy place. And in the day, it's a pillar of cloud. So as it moves, it leads them and they are to move. In the night, it is a flaming pillar of light to illumine their path. Is this the picture of your life? Walking when God directs you? Resting when He says stop? Exodus chapter 40, verses 38. 36 to 38. Let us turn there. Exodus chapter 40, verses 36 to 38. This is a description for us. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. So we have the Word of God with us, that light to shine and show the way. Are we appropriating it? Are we using it? Are we studying from it? Dear brethren, are you going through dark days, seemingly dark days? God's Word has a good comfort for you. The Psalms are a balm for the fearful soul in times of darkness, in times of trouble. Perhaps it's sickness, perhaps it's a loss of job, perhaps it's a loss of loved ones. We are able to find strength and comfort upon our Lord Jesus Christ. The problems of the heart are best treated by the great physician of the soul. Jesus knows how to treat our hearts. If you would go to Him and you would find comfort there, He will take away your fears. He will take away your doubts and plant in your heart strength as unto a light that shineth in a dark day until the day dawn, day star arise in your hearts. There is nothing contrary to the depraved heart of men than the Word of God. And there is nothing more opposing to the kingdom of Satan than the Word of God. And so we are asked to pay more attention to it. It is our only hope. It is the only light. So God's word is life's only true foundation. God's word is life's only true comfort. And thirdly, verses 20 to 21, it is life's only through true wisdom. Scripture is life's only true wisdom. Verses 20 and 21 together gives to us this third thought that is linked to the phrase, ye do well that ye take heed. No prophecy, no prediction of Scripture, no part of Scripture was ever made by the act of human will. This word that we have in our hands came, the Bible says, Peter tells us, holy men of God, by holy men of God, moved by the Holy Spirit. It is not man's wisdom. It is God's wisdom that gives us the Bible. So this last thought is to tell us that it is from God. It is a supernatural book. God has supernaturally intended it by the Holy Spirit to give to us those living words, these words of life, and we are to hold it forth. When we read it, obey it, we are all right. But if we fail to take heed of its admonition, then trouble is before us. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. This is divine wisdom, you see, from God. You won't know. You can't tell. There is a day of judgment. Only the Word of God tells us that we will be confronted on that day with this. And if we are aware of it, and if we are able to prepare our lives in the light of it, then there is hope for us. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the Bible tells us, prophesy to us, divine truth, which we can do no other, Paul says, but to submit to it, to accept it, to live our lives by it, Paul says. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. This man learned it the very hard way. And Jesus himself authenticated the scriptures. He tells us in Luke 24:44. Let us turn there in closing. Luke 24:44. Jesus says, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible. And the prophets and the Psalms, which are the writings. Jesus says, all of it must be fulfilled. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. This is the Old Testament scripture. And Jesus says, it speaks concerning me. All of it shall be fulfilled. Jesus' first coming. We know. But there is a time when he will come again to receive the church. So Peter is asking the people scattered all over Asia Minor, living a life of trouble and hardness, that there is a secret, there is a way out. That is the word of God. May every sincere Christian resolve to put the word of God as the highest authority in our heart, that we may live by it, act by it, and die by it. This is the challenge before us. Let us not fail our Lord in this generation, as God's people did in the time of Judges. God's word is important because it is life's only firm foundation. It is life's only true comfort, and it is life's only true wisdom. May the Lord help us to spend time to diligently study it, uphold it, stand by it, defend it, for we can do no other. As Peter confessed in John 6:68, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, may Thou confirm these words of Scripture in our hearts. May Thou help us to appropriate the Word of God in our lives and in the lives of our family. Lord, may Thou be merciful to us, for we need Thee. Grant us the holy zeal and desire to pursue after Thee, to follow hard after Thee by knowing and living out Thy word. Help us, Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.